You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 30, Session 1, Philip and the Ethiopian. So Karen, what is this story all about? Give a little bit of the setup and on the nose, it's Philip and some Ethiopian guy.
True, yeah. Pretty important Ethiopian guy at that.
Yes.
One of the queen's, leaders. Okay, so up to this point, the early church has been primarily focused on Jews in Jerusalem. And then this week, we are seeing this session foreshadowing the important jump toward the global church that includes both Jews and Gentiles. And so if you think back to Acts 1, you know, where Jesus says to make, you know, let his truth be known in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. We're seeing that progression here. And Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian, you know, teases what's going to follow that you'll see in coming sessions.
Yeah, it's just the book of Acts, a lot of people prefer to use it as an outline of the gospel going to the Jews first in Jerusalem, then the Jews in Judea, then the Samaritans who are half Jew, half Gentile, and then the ends of the world, the Gentiles. So that is a formula you see lived out in Acts, and this kind of just foreshadows. This is not when the church turns fully toward the Gentiles. That will happen in the future, but this kind of foreshadows that. So it's an important session from that perspective of reminding us of God's bigger plans to save all humanity, all who trust in him, not just the Jews. So let's talk about any areas we need extra caution or prep time. I would, not really caution or prep time, but more of an opportunity. I would start by saying the Ethiopian man's question is an amazing question. It gives us a lot of different directions we can go with our kids this week. So the man, of course, he's to reset the story. He's riding this chariot. He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and Philip runs alongside the chariot, which I've always thought would be a hilarious, you know, vision of this Philip running, literally running along this chariot, trying to have a conversation with the Ethiopian official. But that's what he does. And the Philip has a great opening line. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, well, how can I unless somebody tells me what I'm reading? How can I unless somebody explains it to me? That's my paraphrase of it, of course. That question is a fantastic question. It gives you an opportunity as a leader to go a couple of different directions. One, I think this allows us to talk about the gift that God has given us in teachers, in pastors, in parents, in those who can come alongside our kids and help them understand. And so, man, yeah, what a great opportunity for us to help our kids just appreciate many who they may take for granted. But at the same time, and I would argue even more importantly, this allows us to remind our kids that they can understand what's in the Scripture because of the Holy Spirit. All kids who have trusted in Christ have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, and one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to us is to guide us to truth, to help us understand Scripture. And even those who are not believers yet, the Holy Spirit ministers to them by guiding them to be able to understand the gospel, to trust in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is at work in helping us understand Scripture. So this is why this is important. In theory, you can drop a new believer on a desert island with the Scriptures, and he or she would be able to grow in their faith and understand Scriptures because of the Holy Spirit's ministry. We do not need a pastor, a teacher, a parent. There's a difference there. They are a gift, but they are not needed in that degree, to that regard. So it's really important because I don't want kids dependent on somebody else thinking, I can't do this apart from, but I do want them valuing the gift of parents, teachers, other adults, pastors who God has given to help them in that process. So a couple different directions that you can take your kids. How about preschool, babies, and toddlers? What are some areas that you can think of for this week, Karen?
Yes. Well, one of the activities in preschool is to talk about baptism. So, you know, depending on how your church does baptisms, you know, there's a good chance that your preschoolers may have never seen one in person. So this activity has you visiting your church baptistry, you know, if you have one, but where you would do baptisms, and asking a pastor if he could come talk to your preschoolers about baptism. If, you know, if that doesn't work or you can't visit the baptistry, you can definitely show pictures or video. One of the options is to contact families ahead of time and ask them to send pictures or videos of family members or friends who've been baptized. I think that just really kind of personalizes it a little bit more for your preschoolers, you know, just to help them understand that a bit. For babies, they're doing an activity where they're squishing water. So again, these are sensory bags. So you're basically filling a Ziploc bag with blue shower gel. You're going to want to do that ahead of time. That would be hard to do in a room full of babies. So get those ready. And for toddlers, they are reading books in a chariot. Of course, not a real chariot. So you're going to need a wagon or a larger appliance box for them to sit in. And another one that's good is a laundry basket. That plastic laundry basket works well for that. For chariot, also toddlers are doing chariot races. Again, not real chariots, but you can run a string through, you know, like a large cardboard box, and they can pull dolls and toys in the chariot. So probably don't want to have toddlers pulling each other in them. So I just would caution you against doing that. Though it would be tempting and fun, but could go really bad.
I will say this. If you can get a real chariot, though, that would be memorable.
Definitely bring
and please send pictures to us so we can see that. There is likely a church somewhere that says, oh yeah, we can make that happen.
Probably so, yeah.
Which would be fascinating.
Yeah, tag us in your Instagram. So yeah.
Let's talk about what we're excited about God potentially doing in and through this session. I think it goes back to kind of what you were saying at the setup of what this session's about. This session is another one that shows us God's heart for all people. This is the real version of the three parables of Luke 15, if you will. God loving a single person enough to chase him down. You think about it, that Philip did not stumble across this man. He was sent there. The Holy Spirit sent him. God sent him to this road for a divine appointment, literally running after this man in the chariot. And so, you know, it's a great coupling with Luke 15 that was not hyperbole. They're parables, but not hyperbole. The truth they're teaching is really real, that God is a searching God. He is a chasing God. He is a God who perseveres in his love and affections for us, for his glory and his good and our good. And we see that here. We see that expressed with this one man worth enough for God to send, Philip literally running after so that he could trust in Christ and become part of the early church as it grows. So God loves all people. It's a great opportunity for you to remind your kids that God loves them. It's a good opportunity for you to remind them that God loves their friends, their classmates, their neighbors, their teammates, and even that kid they might not like. God loves that kid. And so it's just a great reminder of that we have to put before our kids this week. What about you, Karen? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good connection with Luke 15. I love that. For me, this story just encourages me about how the Holy Spirit works. I just love how he put Philip at the right place at the right time to encounter somebody who needed him. Granted, I mean, he needed the Lord, but he used Philip. and so I'm just excited for kids to see how God invites us to join him in his work. It really is his work, and we are just these empty vessels for him to use. We just have to be obedient, depend on him moment by moment. So exciting to see how the Lord's going to use our kiddos through the years.
All right. Good place to wrap up. So let's call it there. I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.